Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator, Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul. Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day, be it Wednesday or Thursday. Thanks for joining us here. Hey, now, if it's Wednesday, and if you're listening in at 5:30 p.m., you've got time to make it to our Bible study here tonight. At Island Community Church, we're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Our Wednesday night studies are Wednesday night, obviously, at 6 o'clock. You're invited. So get in that car and point it towards 1000 North Banana River Drive. Stop by for our Bible study night. We are going to have an awesome time in the Word here on this Wednesday night, looking at Jesus' signs of his return. We're in Luke chapter 21. You are invited. Now, here on the radio, starting today is our brand new series and on the man, Moses. Moses, the man of faith, is our five-week series here. And we just started. I just started preaching that on Sunday. And you're going to hear that now on the radio here today and tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. I'll be preaching the second part of this on Sunday. You are invited. So if you're looking for a church home, if you like what you hear on the radio here, I invite you to come by, fellowship with us, worship Almighty God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit at our church on a Sunday. See if perhaps the Lord's leading you there. I know this, if you come and visit, you'll hear the Word of God and you'll be warmly greeted by myself and this wonderful church family here. So, okay, this is part one of this message. Or actually, it's two parts. Moses, the man of faith, is the first sermon. This will play Wednesday and Thursday, and we'll be back with that again next week. So, okay, enjoy today's message. Number six, he was cast into a dark dungeon. Number seven, he was there for 13 years. 13 years, Tim. And he says, God did. You meant it for evil. Oh, that's sure. You did all this. You threw me in there. You meant this for evil. But God's bigger than you is. And he's greater than you. And he took what you did and he turned it around for good. And he'll do the same thing for you in your life too. No matter what the devil throws your way, sickness, evil, harm to your family, God will take it to all of you that love him. All of you that are called according to his purpose. God will take that. Even though these bad things may happen to you, God is going to turn them around for good. Because that's what he does. And that's who he is. Don't you think he might be a little bit sore at God over all this? Let me ask the question, would you be? Would you be mad at God if you were accused of rape falsely and thrown in jail for 13 years, would you be mad at God? But this is what Joseph says. So now, this wasn't you people that sent me there. God sent me. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. You see, church, this proves what the Apostle Paul said, that all things work together for good to those that love God. To those who are the called. That is, remember, God chose you from before the foundation of the world. That's called, I choose you for salvation. And you say, I receive that, Lord. I call on the name of the Lord to be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For all of you that have made that public confession, God said, I've got your back. And in your life,
everything is going to work out for good one way or the other. You might not see it right now. You might not see it right now because you might be in the middle of darkness right now where these bad things have happened to you that you didn't invite or call or ask for or through no fault of your own, like Job. In Genesis chapter 42, verse 36, Jacob cried out. He said, all of these things are against me. You know what? Wrong. All these things are for you. All these things are for you. You just can't see it at the time. Jacob was wrong when he said that. He didn't know that Almighty God was working behind the scenes to have all this work out for good. Just didn't know it. I love that verse, Genesis 42:36. So encouraging to me. All these things are against me. Now, God might not cause the difficulties in your life, but he can and will cause it to work together for good. All right, and now here, Joseph's not sore. Look at what he says in verse 21. He says, now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them. Getting hot in here. He comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household. And Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim, that's one of his two kids, Ephraim's children, to the third generation. And Joseph said to his brethren, I'm dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right, there's the prophecy. Someday soon, God's going to come back again. And he's going to take all of you, all of the nation of Israel, that weren't a nation yet, all of the Jewish people. The prophecy is God's going to come back and take all of you Jews out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. That's how all this came about. Because something bad happened to somebody good. And he decided to trust God in the face of adversity. Even when he didn't understand. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him as Lord. You're bigger than this. I don't understand it, but I trust you. I don't understand it, but I believe you're going to get me through this. In all your ways, acknowledge him. All right, so Joseph died, verse 26. Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. There you have it. Now, on to Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. Now, Joseph died, and all that generation. Okay, Exodus chapter 1. Joseph died on all his brothers and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, and a new king that did not know God ultimately. Just like this country. There's a new king here in the United States that doesn't know God either. Because if he did, he wouldn't do the things that he does. Notice, too, how both our king and this one are both abortionists. They worship at the same altar. Matter of fact, that's a requirement to serve as king of this country now. Or they'll run your butt out of town so fast, they'll rig any election to get rid of you. Verse 9, he said to the people, okay, there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Verse 9, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. Verse 15, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. Boy, that's just the opposite of China, isn't it? They just flip the script in China. They keep the boys and throw out the girls. Kill the girls. Verse 17. But the midwives feared God. You see that? Exodus 1:17. The midwives feared God. And they did not do as the king of Egypt. All right, this is when you're not supposed to obey the government. I'll say it again, too, so they can hear it on the radio. Okay? This is when you do not obey the government of whatever country you live in. When the government is diametrically opposed to the word of God. When the government's against the ways of God, you always obey God and never obey the government. When it comes to paying taxes, give it up, baby. Give up your money. That's not God's picture on a $100 bill. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And it just so happens God is the creator of life. So you give to God what is God's. I don't care how much of a stink you make, you are not the creator of life. God is the creator of life. End of marriage. So the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the male children alive. So the king of Egypt, I'm in verse 18. The king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why are you doing this? Why are you saving these male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, I think it's a little bit of a white lie here, maybe, maybe not. Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Look at the next word in verse 20. What is it? Therefore. Anytime you see a therefore, you got to ask yourself what it's there for. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives and the people multiplied. God dealt well. Sorry, W-E-L-L. God dealt well with the midwives. But the therefore is therefore because they feared God. They feared God. They feared God over the fear of man. They were like David, what can man do to me? If you fear God, Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It all starts with fearing him. Fear God and leave, just like Charles Stanley always says, fear God and leave. Leave the consequences up to him. So, therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. Look at verse 21, and notice again the reason why God did what he did. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all of his people, saying, every son who is born you will throw into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Again, I think of Charles Stanley saying, obey God. That's what he says, actually. Obey God and leave the consequences to him. same as these midwives did. If you don't fear God, then sorry to say, you don't know nothing. Whether you are Pharaoh, or whether you are president of a country, or whether you are chairman so-and-so. If you don't fear God, you are nothing. You are a worm. So this is the scene in Egypt. Anti-Semitism is now ruling the day in Egypt. You know, all the world hates the Jew, don't they? Look how far back this goes. Here we have our first ruler who has a mad passion to destroy all the Jewish people, except the pretty girls. This is the spirit of Antichrist that John wrote about. That is already in the world. People that hate Jews for no reason at all. Man, you're infected with the spirit of Antichrist. Why don't you hate every last Polish person or every last German? Why don't you hate every last Spaniard or every last Italian? But no, you hate the Jews. That's evil. Okay. Let's see how this plays out. Exodus chapter 2. And a man of the house of Levi, he went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. This is the tribe of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Now the sister would be Miriam, Moses' sister, whom, by the way, Jesus' mother was named after. Miriam. But put yourself beside the Nile. Can you picture this? Here's Miriam standing at a distance and watching, wondering what's going to happen to her baby brother. And now, by an incredible stroke of luck, me luck my eye. For those that don't know, I'm being as facetious as you possibly. A stroke of luck. Verse 5. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to go get it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." So then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from among the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother and her mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. Ha! You gotta love how God out. What are the odds of that? You give your kid up, you put him in an ark, send him out here, and now they're gonna call the mother back and she's gonna get paid for it. There is a God up in heaven. He works all things together for good, I'm telling you today. Trust in God. And leave the consequences up to him. Trust in God. Whatever you are going through in your life, trust in God and leave the consequences up to him. Psalm 34 says, "Come, let us magnify the Lord together." You magnify God, you make him bigger than your problems. How's that for irony? This is what happens when you trust God. When you obey God, leave the consequences to him. By the way, what's God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do right now? 65 people in here. What's God calling you to do today? Only you can answer that. Trust in God. Do what He says, even if you don't understand it. If you're married, your spouse will confirm it and be in total agreement with you. They won't be against you. They'll be together with you. They will confirm what God's given you to do if you're married. Verse 10. So the child grew and brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, because I drew him out of the water. Moses' name means drawn out. All right, now let's let the author of the book of Hebrews tell us a little more about this man. Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I promise to have you guys out just a couple minutes. Now, verse 23, Hebrews 11, verse 23. Now it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. You see, just like the Hebrew midwives, just like Daniel in the lion's den, Peter said, we must obey God rather than men when they told him to shut up, stop mentioning the name of Jesus. Moses' parents were not afraid of the king's command, and they were not afraid of the king. Church, when you trust in God like this, something happens to you in your life. Something will happen to you. You'll never be the same. It'll be a turning point for you in your life. I encourage you, take that step that God's calling you to do. Be obedient to what God is calling you to do. Take that step. Your life won't ever be the same. Whatever it is. Now, these are the last recorded words spoken by Paul. You don't have to turn there. Let me read it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. At my first defense, no one stood with me. Everyone forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I could go on. We're going to end it there. I could read to you what happened to the three Hebrew children in the furnace when they had to bow down and call Nebuchadnezzar and worship this image, and they refused. For time's sake, we're not going to do that. But let's not, you and I, fear the king's commandment. And let's be like these others. Moses and his parents, Daniel, the three Hebrews in the furnace, and all of the others who pledged allegiance to the Son of God. Now, the author of Hebrews, again, continues verse 24. He says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Now, the writer here showed Moses to be a real hero of the faith, who had an intelligent regard for the future hopes of the nation of Israel, and he chose to be identified with the people of God. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And then it says this, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Remember what Jesus said to Thomas. He said, blessed are all of you who don't see and yet believe. Now we'll leave it off right here. Next week, we'll see Moses murder a man and hide his body in the sand. Next week, I believe my sermon is called Moses and the Burning Bush. Moses is going to kill someone. He's going to head out of town, and he's going to run into God in this burning bush. That's where this is going to be an exciting 5 weeks. That's where we're going to pick up here next week. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I know.